I want to give you a little brochure, not because it talks about our college, but because there's a building right in the center of it. Six years ago, this building was not there, at least it didn't belong to our college, right in the center of
Glasgow.
I don't know how many millions of pounds it's worth now. But it's ours. And we're not in debt. And we were never in debt right from the day that we entered the building. How that happened, God only knows. But it had, and it does, and it belongs to us. And if I took you up to Bombay, I could take you to assemblies like this. 10 years ago, there was no hospital. Now we have a 4-story hospital in Bombay worth millions of rupees, absolutely filled with people who, alas, are suffering from AIDS.
One million
people are affected by AIDS directly or indirectly in the whole of the Bombay area. And with my fellow directors, I just agreed to spend another £2 million in building another hospital. We don't have any money. But I got some expensive and rich friends. So I gave Scotland up and I thought I'd come to the Faroe Islands. Did you notice I just touched him? Seriously.
Yeah.
In a slum in Bombay, I did what Princess Diana was famous for doing. I touched people with AIDS. Because when you're in Africa or Asia, you don't touch what is unclean. Some years ago, I came back from Africa. 3 years ago, I was very sick. I'd picked up some sort of virus. And for 2 days, I wanted to die. The reason why I wanted to die was not because I'd lost faith, but my body was so pained. Where I used to preach, I said it was 3 years ago, it was 6 years ago. Where I used to preach was down on the south coast of England. And like the hospital I'd just seen in Faroe Islands, we had a massive hospital just at the back of our church. And we had doctors and nurses in our congregation. And I was taken to this hospital. They thought I got some infectious disease, so they gave me a room on my own. I couldn't stand light, and so they darkened the
room.
The virus caused my body to smell terribly. I felt absolutely loathsome. And something happened that I'll never forget from that day to this day or to the day that I die. The doctors couldn't help me because they didn't know what the virus was. And at night, one of the girls from my church, who was a nurse, she used to come into my room. And I get emotional even as I think about it now. And all she did was just hold my hand and stroke my arm. I can still feel it now. When I was despairing, one of my girls came and touched my hand and stayed with me for the hours and to the day I die. I guess I will love her for being there when I was in need. Here's a verse from the Bible. It's found in the book of Samuel. The 10th chapter of the first book of Samuel.
First Samuel, chapter 20.
There's a man who features there, and his name is Saul. He's going to be the leader of Israel. He's going to be the king. He's the most unlikely man to be king. He's tall, but he's quite shy. But Samuel has been told by God that this man is to lead the Hebrews. Politically, it's a very difficult situation, as it is today in the Middle East. And there were some people called Ammonites who were threatening the security of Israel. And Saul has to lead the nation. You can't lead a church on your own. You can't develop a work like this on your own. You've got to have a team. 6 years ago, we didn't have a college. We now have about 200 students. I'm the team leader. But the people who do the work are the faculty. Jesus comes on earth. He's the Son of God. He's got a task to do. He's only going to be preaching for 3 years. And the Son of God needs something. He needs a team. How do you select a team to work for God? Listen to what happened as far as Saul was concerned. Verse 26 of 1 Samuel in chapter 10. Saul also went to his home in Gibeah, accompanied by valiant men whose hearts God had touched. That's an interesting expression, isn't it? Saul didn't have alongside him men who went to some military college. Jesus didn't have alongside him men who had been to some university. What Saul needed. What Jesus needed. What I need. What this church needs. Increasingly.
It's
people whose hearts God has touched. That's the extraordinary thing about God. He touches people. He makes himself known to people. And that's one of the most remarkable and puzzling things. I can understand why God loves my wife. I can understand why God loves most of my students. But I can't understand why he loves me. But the Bible says he does. He loved me. And he gave himself for me. I was in a slum in Bombay. And I went into this very poor area where there was this very sick man. He looked about 80 years of age, but I suppose he was no more than 40. And I did what I invariably do when I'm in that sort of situation. I went and sat by him. I put my arm around him. I'm not a typical Englishman. I touched him. Embraced him. And you should have seen his eyes. A European touching him. And suddenly into this room, there's just an old bed and a couple of chairs, comes a beautiful girl. She'd come from the muddy path outside this shanty and she entered the room. And like your friend Anna, is it, who led the songs just now?
Yeah,
I asked her to sing.
So be I hanna sinja.
It was a crazy thing to do. I didn't know the girl. I'd never seen her before.
Ta pura bus via bena gera ta tu. Chen bena shonga sa on offers.
As I was praying for this man, I got the girl to sing.
Och som är bär för hans man och tack hans gentna sinja.
And she started to sing about God.
Och hon började sinja om Gud.
About the omnipotence of God.
Och hur så Gud har allt sin i hand.
And how this all-powerful God could come into the situation and make His presence felt.
Och hur så han måttmiglig Gud kan komma in i hans situation och komma vid sin närvaro här.
And in a slum in Bombay.
Och i slummen i Bombay.
In amongst the most poor of the people.
Och mittlen till alla fader som mittlen folk.
We felt the presence of God.
Kände vid närvaro Guds.
He touches.
Han nämmer.
Jesus came to seek and to save the lost.
Jesus kom att leta efter dem som var förtappade.
He touched the leper.
Och han nämmer vid hans bedölska.
He touched the Syrophoenician who had spent all her money on the doctors.
Och han nämnde vi komna från Fenicia som har brukt alla sina pengar på läkare.
He touched the children.
Och han nämnde vi barnen.
He touched the widows.
Och han nämnde vi änkenar.
I'm glad Jesus wasn't English.
Och jag är glad för att Jesus var inte smälter.
He's not afraid to mix with people.
Så han är inte bänken att komma vid synen av folk.
These men who Saul needs.
Och hans männen som hade omedelbart törv.
To help the Hebrews to be able to push back their enemies.
Som hjälpte hebreerna att få fotsundan åter.
They are described as men whose hearts God had touched.
Hebreer lustar som män vars hjärta Gud hade nått.
Jesus, who is much greater than Saul.
Jesus var näst större än Saul.
He brings 12 men to follow him.
Han väljer sig 12 män att följa
honom. Peter and James and John, who were fishermen.
Peter, Jakob och Johannes som var fiskemän.
Matthew, who was working for the Romans.
Och Matteus som arbetade för romarjer.
A most curious assortment of people.
Han öle avvärde samlingar av folk.
And Jesus called them.
Och Jesus kallade dem.
As he's calling you.
Akkur som han kallat dig.
Hundreds of people here in the Faroe Islands.
Hundra av vissa människor här i Faroe.
To belong to him.
Vera hansara.
There has to be that initial touch.
Tem mover hatta fyrsta stigi sjó góð ja nem.
I can still remember that girl's touch as she stroked my arm.
Og minnist staðar hans gentna sum kunti mun arm.
Do you remember God's first touch on your life?
Minnist sig kos góð nem við tekar lif.
Maybe like Adam, you weren't searching for God, but God came searching for you.
Akkur sum Adam so leiðu tíð kanst sjá góð men góð koma leiðu at tekum.
And he brought Adam back to himself.
Og hann tók Adam aftur til sin sjálvan.
As he brings you back to himself.
Akkur sum hann tekur teg aftur til sin sjálvan.
That first touch.
Hann hefur fyrsta nem.
So you've got the picture of Saul with these men and Jesus with his men.
To switch us Saul between them and Jesus between them.
And here you've got 300-400 people.
Well, here have we been like 300-400 folk looked
at. And the common denominator is that you've been touched.
What has with all how the phalanx it have been in Norman.
By God.
Norman of Gotha.
Let me take you back again to India because I was asked to give a sort of global perspective to my preaching this weekend.
Let me fair after Lindian to have been in Malaysia and Alhamsmint in the predicate of Ikshif.
God must love Indians.
Gud han må elska folk från Indien.
Because he's made 1 billion of them.
Det har man just en miljard av dem.
He loves the Chinese even more.
Han elskar kineser ännu mer.
In fact, I heard of a missionary speaking in Northern Ireland. Who said that of every third person in the world, one is Chinese. And there was a young woman in the congregation who'd had 2 children. And she refused to have a third. Could only happen in China, it could only happen in Ireland. Of the 1 billion people in India, 400 are known as Dalits, D-A-L-I-T, the untouchables. They're supposed to be Hindu, but they're not allowed into the temples. They sweep the streets, they empty the toilets. In the caste system of India, they're the lowest of the low.
Og í kastsystemunum, altså í systemunum, onkur hægst, onkur lakri, onkur lakri, þeir eru allra lægst.
Some of you were present at the service earlier today. I made reference to a lady, I don't have time to tell the story again, who lost her husband and her children. They were burned to death. And she went on record as saying that she forgave those who martyred her children. And the Times of newspaper took up the story that she had forgiven those who had made her into a widow. Time International magazine that circulates around the world took the same story. And there are some people who believe that a religious movement, a spiritual movement, has broken out amongst the untouchables as a result of her ability to forgive. Just 2 years ago, the untouchables left Hinduism. Many of them have become Buddhists. But some want to become Christian. And the mission map of India is in process of being rewritten. In Delhi, on Indian television, there was a program made about the conversion of the untouchables to Buddhism. But some were becoming Christian. And some of my colleagues were there. The Buddhist priest had some rites in which he was able to bring the untouchables into Buddhism. And the authorities on the television wanted something to be done to indicate that some of these untouchables have become Christian.
And
my friends didn't know what to do. And then they had a flash of inspiration. Somebody went and got a bucket of water and a towel. And they washed the feet of the untouchables. That was picked up on Indian television and became a testimony to the nation that in Christianity there is no such thing as an untouchable. The thing that brings people into Christianity is the recognition that Jesus has washed us of our sins. The Holy Son of God is prepared to touch people like ourselves. There is that initial touch in which God associates himself with us. These men that Saul needs, if you read the next chapter, they engage in a war. They need to know the empowering of God. These men that Jesus has called to be with himself, when he is removed from them, when they are on their own, their initial touch is not going to be sufficient. Every day of their lives, as they fight against the evil in the Roman Empire, they will need the touch of God. Every day of your life, you need to know the touch of God. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, says in the 6th chapter, brothers, put on the whole armor of God so you might be able to go into the evil of the Roman Empire and fight the battles of God. And then he says something that's absolutely extraordinary. He speaks about himself. And he's been a minister and a church planter for 30 years. And he says to his readers, pray for me. Why should you pray for Paul?
Surely
if Paul has been so successful in his ministry, he can take for granted that God will be with him. But you cannot take that for granted. You have to come every day before the Lord and ask for his Spirit to be with you, so that there will be that about you that is different from other people with whom you brush shoulders. When Moses was asked to continue to lead the most difficult congregation in the world, he brought them to the point where the law had been given. They're in the wilderness of
Sinai,
and God says to Moses, surprise, surprise, I'm going to extend your ministry. And Moses says, what are you
going to
do? And he said, I'm going to let you continue to pastor the Hebrews. And Moses says, thanks very much, God. Do you know what it's been like for these last few years? I mean, this is about the most difficult congregation that any minister could be landed with. And he argues with God that he won't continue unless God promises one thing. What is that? You can read it in Exodus chapters 32 and 33. Moses says, unless you go with me, I won't go. Because the only thing that will distinguish me and these people from anyone else in the world is your presence. And Moses does not receive God's rebuke as a result. But rather Moses is told to come into the mountain in the early morning. He's to come on his own. He's to hide himself in a little crevice in the rock. And God allows his presence to pass by. And Moses sees something of God. And when he comes down the mountain, his face shines to the extent that he has to cover his eyes. And the Hebrews recognize that there's something different about Moses. What has happened? He knows the touch of God. What makes this church different? What makes Faroese Christians different? And the answer is the touch of God. It's not your theological belief. It's not coming to church Sunday by Sunday. It's not even taking bread and wine. All these things are important. But the most important thing is that you know every day the touch of God. I told my wife 38 years ago that I loved her. I married her in Africa. I couldn't find a wife in England, so I went to South
Africa.
I got a better deal. So when I called her today, I could have said, 38 years ago, I told you I loved you. And she would have said, I won't tell you what she would have said. She's not concerned about 38 years ago. She's concerned about here and now. Yesterday's blessing is not sufficient. He touched me. He needs to continue to touch me. This is the remarkable thing about God. He longs for your presence more than you long for his.
Where
two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. What's the name of Jesus? Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
What does Emmanuel mean? God with us.
God vi okkum.
Jesus is taking the leave, his leave from the disciples.
Jesus han fer frá lærisveinum.
He gives them the most remarkable responsibility.
Han gjev tað ein ótrúlig ábyrgd.
And it seems as though Jesus has taken leave of his senses.
Og tað seg sum at Jesus fer frá tusma hevur gjørt.
He says to this band of men,
og hann seir við hendan bøttna mannum,
go into the world and preach the gospel.
Fer inn í heiminn og kunngjera evangelium.
Continue to do what I've done.
Og haldi af frá evangelium við hendan.
There's 11 of you. Preach the gospel to all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Teaching them what I've taught you. He doesn't promise them a Mercedes-Benz. He doesn't even say they can have a keyboard.
He
doesn't even say they can have a worship leader. Thanks very much,
Jesus.
How on earth are we going to do this? And he said, lo, I am with you. With you. And they feel his presence. Not only on the day of Pentecost. Because that was an easy one. That means they got 120 people. You can all be religious when a couple of hundred people are together. But try sweating it out in a malaria infested dungeon. Try sweating it out when you've put into jail. Or when you're on your own and you're defending a pitch with a Roman and a Jewish court. That's when you need to know him. Religion is what you do when you're on your own. As much as what you do when you're together. It's much easier to be spiritual together. It's not so easy when you're on your own. This touch is a personal touch. And that initial touch needs to be continued. Every day of your life. He walks with me and talks with me and tells me I am his own. And don't you see, it was to the degree that the disciples knew the felt presence of Jesus in the Acts of the Apostles that they were successful. Before I went to Glasgow, I lived in a house, a lovely little cottage on the south coast of England. And we'd lived in this cottage for some years. And I didn't have an awful amount of money, but in my spare time I tried to make the building a little bit more acceptable for us. And I built a little extension to the kitchen. And then I tiled it, put some tiles on it. And the day came when I put the last tile on this extension. The finishing touch. I was so proud of it. I used to show my friends. I showed my wife. She wasn't quite as pleased as I was. I thought it was brilliant. She thought it was reasonable. And the phone went. I had a phone call.
So ring the telephone.
And the phone call was from Glasgow.
Glasgow.
That they were going to start a new college in Glasgow. And was I prepared to go? And I thought to myself, I have worked for years on this house. And now God wants me to move on. It might have been the finishing touch to our house. But it wasn't the finishing touch for me.
And
new ministry opened up. But the day will come in my life. The day will come in your life. When it will be ended. The initial touch. The continuing touch. The final touch. When Jesus takes you from this world and presents you before his Father and say, this is the person for whom I died. This is the one that I reached out and touched. Filled with my spirit. Enabled to engage in my ministry. And now I proudly present him. Present her before you. And on that day, what do you do?
Han ta dagin kan fyrir gera.
You look back and you say, Lord, I was so privileged.
To fyrir hitja aftur og sé góð tær
stuðu fram gera. In your work. To be involved in your work. I helped to feed the orphans. I ministered to those who did not have anything. I helped to establish a church. I was faithful to my partner. I tried to be a good single Christian. I endeavored to be a good married Christian. All the days of my life, I came to ask you for the touch. You know, Saul's men, when they came alongside him, and they engaged in the battle, at the end of that chapter, you discover that they were victorious. And everybody recognized that Saul was a great leader. But at this point in his life, he'd achieved the purposes of God. And when the last day comes, the final touch of all the final touches, and Jesus returns for his church, the world will recognize, the cosmos will recognize, the angels and the seraphim will recognize, through Jesus Christ, God has done a remarkable thing. He has brought a work he started to perfection. The initial touch followed by the continuing touch. Yields to the final touch. When we are presented perfect before the Father.
And
so in a moment or two we're going to come around this table.
So om man lötes för att samlas om här borde.
And we're going to take bread and wine.
Och för att ta av bröden och vinen.
And we were recognizing the very taking of the bread and wine.
Och för att insåg att ta av bröden och vinen.
That we were touched yesteryear by the Lord, and we're going to be touched today.
Vi skall om god när vi kommer för flera år sedan, så för att från normen av honom idag.
And we're going to thank God.
If I talk about God,
that he doesn't treat us like lepers.
He
doesn't distance himself from us like the Indians sometimes distance themselves from the AIDS victims. We're going to recognize that he touched us.
When
we see the nail-pierced hands of Jesus placed on our heads again,
and
we thank him.
So we thank him.
He loved me.
At han elskar mig.
He gave himself for me.
At han gav sig själv för mig.
When the Syrophoenician woman touched Jesus, he recognized that she'd reached out.
Ta kvinnan från Fenicia insåg att hon var nomen av Jesus.
And he touched her.
Och han nam henne.
I can still remember the girl who touched me.
Jag minns en jenta som nam mig.
And I thank God for her.
Och jag tackar Gud för henne.
But I thank God even more.
Men han touched Gud igen mer.
That he touched me.
Att han nam mig.
And made me his own.
Och gör det med sin egna.
And you know that too.
Och du känner det här.
So let's continue in this service to thank the living God for the touch of God upon our hearts.
Så låt oss hålla av och ha som möte någon att tacka Gud för att han nam mig och våra hjärtan.
I'd like to take just 2 minutes to tell you the sequel of what happened amongst the untouchables.
Vi är inte bara brukar lycka att farma något för att fortälla det om vad som hände vore vid en sån här bulten indien som kallade untouchables.
The lady who lost her husband and her 2 boys.
Kvinnan som miste man sin och på skinnen.
The story went throughout the whole of India.
Sjövan hon kom om allt indien.
And there was a movement amongst the untouchables just a couple of years ago to which I made reference.
Och det var en rörsla som började i mitten händan bulten som vi får ta oss om.
And from all over India now, amongst the most unlikely people, we're getting requests for Bibles, to build schools, and to go into areas which have not been reached with the gospel of Christ and seem to be completely unproductive. And from there is a real movement of God's Spirit.
Det var folk som bor och bär om biblier och folk som kommer till skolan och in i imska tjänaster som man alls inte räknar vid. Och här börjar en väldigt tjänaster för henne.
Just outside Lucknow, a Roman Catholic priest was converted.
Och förstås igen så blev en romersk katolsk präster omvänder.
That's in the center of that's in the northern center of India.
Och det är i norr central Indien.
And he started to speak to people like yourselves only out in the open air.
Han byrjaði at tosa út á götunum við fólk sum okkum.
And now 20,000 people per Sunday are coming to listen to this man.
Og nú koma 20,000 fólk hvønn sunnudag
at hlusta. Tell them about the grace of God.
Han fortel dem um nei Guds.
And the service has gone for hours. The services continue for hours.
Ja, og møten heldur á í tíma vís.
And then teams of young Indian Christians just minister to the villages as they're coming out.
So how are they bulkar við ungum trykkandi intun sum bia fyrir og tæma tæmis mun undan um.
And in the most remarkable way God is doing things amongst the most unlikely people in India.
One culture of truly best middle tier as well as rockna bia for arbeiði mitt.
And in other parts of the world too.
Well, I snare as other heaven.
You heard of Osama bin Laden yesterday.
You heard of Osama bin Laden in George.
And one of his new tapes. What the BBC never told you, or whichever program you tuned into, that one of his men had a vision of Jesus, converted to Christianity, and is in an unofficial school being taught the things of the Lord in Northern Africa. And within the Islamic world, as a result of theology, God revealing himself to people. 60% of all conversions come around like this.
So
despite the problems there are in our world today, God is still touching and bringing people to himself. Whether it's in India or Africa, where I was just a little while ago, where the president of Kenya has just given a multi-million dollar campus to the Christian church, with a university and a school. The school has had 10,000 applications for the 1,000 places.
Og hann hefur haft 20,000 umsóknir, men bara 1,000 nemingar sleppa inn.
And in various parts of the world,
what is on your heaven?
God is touching.
Han nemur gott folk.
By his spirit.
Vi anda sveinum.
As he is here in the Faroe Islands.
Sum eisini ger heri for you.
Through this fellowship.
Eisini jokn hesa samkomuna.
May you continue to know.
Og mal motis hada afram avita.
God's touch upon you.
A good name to come.
And thank you for the privilege of being here for 2 days.
Takk fyri at eg kunnu vera saman við tykkum hesa báðir.
God bless you.
Harri sikkum tykkum.